Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that have been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good morning and welcome to Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, such as the United States, Canada, Norway, Sweden, Malaysia, India, Australia, and New Zealand. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and you can chat with the guests that I bring on the show. You can also subscribe and never miss an episode. And we are available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app, and the Himalaya app. So, subscribe to the show wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing at what they do and are creating an impact in the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of my guests that I bring on the show, this is a live show. So you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number, 657-383-1109. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my friend, Trish Lito. Trish, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Wow. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, my friend, Sean Douglas. This is incredible, man. What an intro. It's like you've been doing this for a while or something.
220 episodes.
Wow, man. Like, that was absolutely brilliantly executed intro. Thank you for having me, my friend. I appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. I had to get you on the show because I love what you're doing, and it's so refreshing to meet someone, connect with someone, and you just know kind of like what they're thinking, like you know what they're gonna say, you know, like you're good with this, right? Like, oh yeah, we're good. Like, yeah. So it's like, any, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've had the phone calls, we've had the text messages, and you're like, I know, right? I'm like, I know. And so it just, I don't know, the banter back and forth, and it's amazing. You're incredible.
Oh, right back at you, buddy. I appreciate you. I seriously do. Like, I'll tell you what, for the people who do get to catch us live right now, I mean, first of all, again, thank you so much for having me. I did not realize you were all over the world in such a huge capacity, Sean. So congratulations to you for making that happen. What a massive, massive audience and the growth that you're having with this. And shout out to my family in New Zealand. My mom's actually from New Zealand, so I'm half Kiwi.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So,
Cool.
I'm a Navy veteran. So my dad met my mom when he was in the Navy and when he was stationed in Port Chalmers in Dunedin, New Zealand. So I've got my whole mom's side of the family is in New Zealand. So if my New Zealand family are listening to this, they better be. Then hi, everybody, and much love to you. But I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you, and I'm really excited to be on this. And you're right. You and I, we've been connected for some time now. I feel like we get on the phone at least once a week, and I love that because your energy just lifts me up so much. And so I'm excited to do this with you. And you've really given me a ton of exposure and introduced me to so many opportunities for me to get my voice out there much bigger than I even realized. So thank you, my friend, for providing me with that kind of a platform.
You are absolutely welcome. It is absolutely my pleasure. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to learn more about Trish Lito. The name of the episode is 5 Minute Lives with Trish Lito. She is a U.S. Mm-hmm. Navy veteran and live video marketing consultant. Her audience has crowned her the queen of 5 Minute Lives, a simple yet effective strategy for providing content that matters to audiences with just 5 minutes of live video and repurposing it for increased brand recognition and revenue. Trish is also an expert speaker, teaching strategies for social media while motivating and inspiring her audience to overcome self-doubt and press live with purpose. She recently quit her 9-to-5 job after over 18 years in the mortgage industry and is now helping businesses increase revenue with her strategies full-time. Trish has spoken on several stages, including the Military Influencer Conference sponsored by USAA back in October 2018, and most recently spoke on the mortgage panel at VaynerMedia's Agent 2021 in Miami Gardens, Florida, teaching military spouses social media strategies for hiring our heroes in Tampa Bay, Florida. She's shaking up the industry, leaving behind no excuses. To learn more about Trish Lito, visit her website at trishlito.com. Trish, the first question I want to ask, and I believe is the most important question that you could ever be asked, is why? Why do you do what you do?
Because in August of 2000, I got out of the Navy, and I was a helicopter mechanic in the Navy for 4 years. And when I got out, I couldn't find a job for 7 months. No one would hire me. So I was young. I was 22 years old, but I had just worked in what I consider to be the most challenging, most physically, emotionally, and mentally challenging and tough places to work, and that is the United States military. And I got out after 4 years of that, and no one would hire me. And I'm going, I don't understand what's happening right now. And I made a promise to myself that I would always have a skill set that would make me not so much employable, but hireable. So now I have people who hire me all the time. And that's my why. My why is to make my keep myself hireable. There's literally like 7 layers to that why. And the second layer I will just touch on, and that's my children. So when I was 16 years old, my dad was a restaurant owner. He owned a catering company and restaurants. And I worked for him. My first job, I was 12 years old. But I remember being 16 years old, and my dad had been hustling hard for, you know, a good 4 to 5 years in that business. And we were going through some tough times. They were going through some tough times financially. You know, my mom and dad, things were a little rough. And my dad came home from work one day from the business, and he thought he lost his money deposit bag from the day. Like, we're talking probably about $3,000 to $5,000.
Oh, wow.
Cash. And he lost it. Like, he was looking all over the place, like trying to find it. My father is an Italian from New York. He wasn't very happy.
No.
And but I remember listening to him cry himself to sleep that night, because he was so angry and so frustrated that he lost that money. Now, the good news is to this story, for those of you listening, is we woke up the next morning, and my dad ended up finding the deposit bag lodged between his driver's seat and the side of his van. So we found it.
Oh, wow.
But I remember being 16 and listening to my dad cry himself to sleep because he thought he lost that money. And I, to this day, I mean, obviously that was something that was traumatic enough of a memory, money related memory, that to this day, I promise myself that I would never let my kids experience that kind of stress from me because of money.
Right.
So,
wow. So that's deep.
Yeah. It's true though. It really is true. Like,
yeah.
I don't ever want my kids to worry about whether or not mommy's going to have money.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. Yep. So it's a twofold why, buddy. Twofold why. And
yeah,
I don't want other people
to
feel that way.
It's, I think it's amazing that what we do later in life as adults,
mm-hmm.
stems back from the moments when we were kids. And it just, you know, it shapes us. You know, we grew up poor in Detroit. You know, you're not poor and in poverty until you're either one of two things. You're homeless or you literally have no food in your house to where you're eating pancakes for dinner because that is all that you have in your house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. There's two yep. levels of like the poverty, like poor. Like, mm-hmm. we're pretty poor, you know, but we're going to make like, you know, macaroni and cheese for dinner or like, you know, some pork chops or something because that's all we got. And then there's mm-hmm. there's nothing but pancake mix. So you make pancake mix and water because you don't have any eggs. Or you get kicked out of your house and you have to go live in your grandparents' basement, which is what we did. So I totally get it. And it's fueled me to make sure that no matter what decision I make, that I don't wind up in that space. And, you know, I've come close because I've made stupid decisions with drinking and everything else. But I've never been that bad off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I give a lot of credit to my parents. You know, first of all, my mother is probably like the strongest woman I've ever met in my entire life. She left her country at 18 years old to marry an American sailor after her sister just got her heart broken by an American sailor. Cause that's what we do. We break hearts every left and right.
Right.
That's what American sailors do. We are heartbreakers. 100%. Yeah. But she left her country 18 years old, went on the other side of the world and built a life with this man that she really barely knew, right? And grew a life with him. They've been married for 54 years in March. I think it was March 12th, March 13th. And 54 years. And they, you know, she had four kids with him. And, you know, he had this great sales job in New York. He was making great money. I mean, they'd go on vacations all the time. And he's just like, you know what? I don't want to live in New York anymore. Let's just go move to Florida and let's go buy a pub with my brother. And that's what they did. They came to Florida, Tampa, Florida. My dad and my uncle bought a pub together and they went into business together. And then that turned into a catering company and, you know, two more, you know, restaurants that they bought. And my mother, God bless her. She, she's been an incredible support system. So those are really big shoes to fill. And I can only hope that, you know, at this point in my life, I'm even like a third of the woman that she is, you know, and that I can, that I can become that woman because trust me, I know that we saw very like financially low times, but I rarely knew that they, like looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, now I know that times were tough. Now I know why my mom didn't, you know, take me to Macy's to go buy jeans. And instead we went to Kmart. Right.
Right. Yep.
Now I get it.
I know that.
You know, now I get it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
Yep. The brand in my house was the Kmart brand with Bugle Boy.
There you go. Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, even now, like, are you kidding me? Kids grow so fast. Like, you see kids that are excited to go thrift store shopping, right? And thank God for like Macklemore who made, you know, thrift shop shopping.
Oh yeah.
A trend, dude. Like, what an amazing thing the music industry has done for our youth in that respect. You know, like they made things cool. You know. So anyway, that's
absolutely.
Totally kind of off topic, but it's like it all kind of like comes together. So yay.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
What was the transformational moment in your life which helped propel you into what you're doing today?
Oh, man. Okay. I think that because these little memories that are just like etched in my mind, I honestly believe that it was the day that I got the first time I got laid off. And I think So I got laid off from a job in October of 2007. And I remember sitting at my desk. I had a very cush job. I was making about $90,000 a year. I was single. I had no kids. I had a nice little townhouse. Life was great. I mean, I was really enjoying myself pretty much every day of the week. And then I was going to New York City to visit my friend who worked up there. I was in New York like probably one weekend a month partying with her and having a great time with her. I was sitting on my desk. Oh yeah. Like life was really good. I was sitting on my desk and I worked in subprime. I worked in the subprime industry and I got laid off.
Oh wow.
It was the last big company. I'm not going to say the name of the company because I just don't like to do that. But it was the last big company and the biggest company. And we were the last ones to shut down. And I remember the people, this is what we call them. We call them the people in the black suits. They came in, they had very nice, like pleated black suit, like pinstripe suits on and white shirts. And they walked in their nice outfits. And this girl slid across papers to me, right? My severance package papers, and the rock on her hand was bigger than my head. And I remember thinking to myself, what makes her more qualified to do what she's doing than me doing what I'm doing that I'm getting laid off? Like, why is this happening the way that it is? And it bothered me because I didn't have a college degree. I'm a college dropout. I actually did go back to college for a short time, but I'm a college dropout. And I remember sitting there thinking to myself, this is bull crap. Like, I'm not going down like this. And I couldn't find a job. Like, nobody would hire me for 7 months. I had to take the word mortgage completely off of my resume in order to get another job. And my next job, I think I was making $14.23 an hour.
Ugh. I mean, it's okay.
So I
went
from making like almost 90 grand a year to making like what?
Yeah.
25, 30 grand a year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
had to move back into my parents' house.
people get excited when they're making $14 or $15 an hour nowadays. You know, I mean, it's like finally, because they realize that the $9 an hour and $10 an hour is like a high school job or a, you know, college dropout job or something like that. You know what I mean? When they're making $14 or $15 an hour, they're like, oh, a little better, but it kind of sucks, you know, like.
Right. Well, I ended up, the truth be told, I actually did end up, you know, I lost my house. I had to go, I lost my house to foreclosure. I got my house foreclosed on because like so many things happened after that. I had to deplete all of my, I had a 401k. Sean, I don't know what a 401k looks like anymore. And in the entrepreneurial world, nobody knows what that looks like, right?
100%.
So, I mean, man, it was tough times. I lost my house. I had to file bankruptcy. I lost everything. And when I started to rebuild it, I just, so talking about, you know, what really boosted me that it was like, okay, got out of the Navy at 22. Couldn't find a job, got a job, and then stumbled into the mortgage industry. And then in October of 07, I kind of told myself, I said, the next time something like this happens, it's going to be my choice that I'm leaving because I choose to leave, right? So 1 month ago, I chose to resign from the mortgage industry and go all in on my business and be 100% entrepreneur.
Wow.
So I guess... Yeah, I guess that was it. That would be the moment for me.
Wow. Well, I would like to think that that'd be a one-off thing, but it seems like a lot of veterans that I talked to, you know, they're not getting hired because the skills that they have do not translate out into the world unless, like, there's a lot of guys as an aircraft mechanic in the Air Force. There's a lot of guys that realize this. So they go and get their A&P license, and they go and work at some cush airport somewhere, or they're working for Delta. You know, my parents are always telling me, like, man, when you get out, you got to go work for an airline. I want nothing to do with aircraft when I leave.
That was me, bro.
So when you got out, and maybe you flew a couple times or whatever, am I the only one who's like doing a maintenance check in my mind when looking out the window of the airplane, like flaps down?
100%.
Okay, got it. Like
100%.
There's a missing fastener on the wing. Look, there's a missing fastener on the wing. What the hell are they doing over there? Like, okay, generator's firing up. Like, you can like roll the starting sequence in your head. You're like, generator's firing up. Cool, got it.
Oh,
engine one,
And it, oh my God, I do. I'm like, how much
all
PSI
the time
in that AP unit?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And the fact that you know the PSI, like you know what the PSI, like that's amazing to me. And it's just
been,
like
it's been 20 years, like, and I still remember
right.
1500 to yep. load up the APU, 3000 to get the engines
yep.
going.
Yep, 100%. And so it's literally like we're sitting yeah. there on an airplane, you know, you feel the generators kick, like, cool, got it. You know, prepare for takeoff. Okay, flaps down. Here we go. Aileron set, check, flight controls. And you're like doing a flight check. You're just like, oh my gosh. And so it's just. I don't want nothing to do with it. Like, I can't even enjoy the
yeah.
airplane ride because it'll be like, we have a maintenance problem. We're going to check on one of the generators. I'm thinking in my mind, like, just do a GCU reset. It'll be fine. Just hit the reset button, reset the generators, you know, pull circuit breaker, you know, and I'm like doing like a troubleshooting check in my mind. It's just, I can't turn it off. So I don't want anything to do with aircraft.
Dude. And you're getting ready to retire soon, meaning that you've been in like
yeah.
20 years. I was in only yeah. 4 freaking years, and I still do that in my head. And people are like, oh, you should be, go be a helicopter mechanic out, you know, in the civilian world. You'll make, you know,
right?
$50 an hour. I'm like, let me just explain something to you. I so literally my hands, I can still smell the JP5 on my hands when I walk outside.
Yeah.
I'm
you
like,
know,
no, thank you.
There is a distinct smell when you walk into a hangar, and there's a distinct smell. You're like, someone did a defuel.
Yep,
like,
yep.
right? Like,
yep.
somebody spilled fuel somewhere. Like, I smell it. And it's like, it's a
time.
Very distinct smell. And it just drives me crazy, especially if I take my uniform off. And then you could just smell it on your uniform. It's like, oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst. You know, so I love where we're going with this because it just goes to show that the skills that we learn in life, whether you're in the military or in business or you go to college or whatever, right, they stick with you and to capitalize on your strengths and at the same time be self-aware of where you want to be in life is so crucial, especially as an entrepreneur, especially as a business owner. If you want to get a leg up, you have got to deploy self-awareness and capitalize on your strengths at the same time. If you know for a fact that you don't want to be a helicopter pilot all your life or a helicopter mechanic all your life, and I know that I don't want to be an airline or I don't want to be, you know, working at like a Learjet someplace, you know, like I'm Grant Cardone's freaking jet mechanic or something, like, that doesn't appeal to me. But there are so many people in life that do jobs that they hate and they go to work in a 9-to-5 every day because they feel like it's something that they have to do. And it drives me nuts.
I think that more and more, especially in the US, I think that there's like this entrepreneurial space that's taken off, especially online. I mean, think about like
yeah.
how incredible social media. Think about Gary Vee alone, right? Like, he even admits
yep.
that he's exploded in the past 4 years, like exploded,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And
yep.
you look at the space that we have online between Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, and then the podcasting world, iTunes
yep.
and
yep.
Spotify, and like all these places that where everybody's showing up left and right, and YouTube and Twitter and everywhere.
Yep.
I think more and more people are going, okay, cool. I still want my 9-to-5 because if you've been working for corporate America, I mean, unlike somebody like me, but if you're working for corporate America for 15 to 18 years and you've got a really solid 401k that's got, you know, close to or over $1 million sitting in there, right? Then you're probably
right.
going to stick it up for another 2 years to 5 years
sure.
to see it
yeah,
through.
Sure.
But
yeah.
that's your 9-to-5. Most of these people I'm learning have a side hustle in some
oh,
piece,
yeah.
whether they're buying and selling real estate, wholesaling and flipping real estate, or they're getting involved in like day trading or crypto,
yep.
or they're doing freaking e-com, like e-com stuff, selling
yep.
t-shirts and flipping sneakers and doing the Gary Vee thing, right? So I just want to give a fat shout out, Sean, if I can, to the people who are doing that. Like, to the people who are going, you know what? I do have a family to feed. I do have insurance to pay, right? You know, because when I went all in on my business, I'm a veteran, right? So I can go to the VA hospital. That's 10 minutes down the road from my house. If I'm sick, I can go get seen. I get 100% coverage, right? But my husband and my kids don't, because they haven't been with me this whole time, okay? So I'm paying $630 a month for insurance coverage, for medical and dental, for my kids and my husband. $630 a month. I wasn't paying that when I worked my corporate job. I knew what I was getting myself into, right?
Right.
So I just want to give a fat shout out to the people who are sticking with the corporate piece. And I get it. You're probably biting your nails and going, man, I could do bigger. I could do something else. I could do something else. But you're biding your time for 2, 3, 5 more years to hit that retirement mark. But you're doing the side hustle too. Like 100%, I salute you. I salute you because I know that's not easy. I get it. I did it for 3 freaking years. It is hard.
Yeah. Every business that I've ever created was while serving in the military, which is kind of a feat in itself. But, you know, between a wife or I'd hire it out or I learned to outsource very quickly because I knew I couldn't spend the time doing it. I knew I had to outsource, which was fine for me. I could do that. But I had to make sure that I was making enough money or whatever. So the first business I ever created was an entertainment company where we produced conferences and summits and, you know, one day, you know, conferences and or 2-day or 3-day events. You know, we did weddings and never did a bar mitzvah, but we did a quinceañera one time. That was pretty cool. But this is what we did. You know, we had a videography, photography, the DJ, you know, the whole thing. Everything was produced. Mm-hmm. Everything was amazing. And I had outsourced some things, you know, and hired more people on because I knew I couldn't do it all myself. And that's, you know, to grow and scale and everything else. And you talk about the big side hustle right now, you know, flipping and e-commerce and everything. That second business I built was an antique store and collectible store. I used to buy storage units at auction and then I would sell everything in the storage unit. This is like 2007, 2008, actually 2008. And I started getting into it a little bit, but then really hit it hard in 2009. And then Storage Wars came out and ruined everything we were doing.
Oh, my God. Oh,
everything we were doing got ruined.
I remember that show. My husband and I would sit there and watch that show for hours at a time and go, I wonder what's going to be inside of that thing.
Yeah. I did it a year and a half before that show even came out. We would buy units at $200-$400 and get like a room full. That show came out, you're talking 8,000, 9,000, 1,500 now because all these newbies come out and they don't understand the business. Like you actually have to price everything on the spot. Like on the spot, you have to be like, okay, I can get that, I can get that. I know I can sell that. You just have to know. And you learn as you go by talking to people how much these things go for. Now, the people who come in and they're like 800 and you're like, you're never going to get that. So within a year, all of those people are gone. But they've marked up everything so high, you know, what I used to pay $200 for, I now have to pay $500 or $600 for, you know, I'm like, God, this sucks. So there's a lot of people that got involved in that. But we had built a store in San Antonio and it would be ran during the week. And then my wife and I would come on the weekends and we would just run on the weekends. I was making $4,000 a month in that store. I was making more in that store in a month than I was in my military pay. That's how crazy it got. And I just was always like, man, I'm going to get out. This is stupid. I'm going to get out. And you know what it was? It was that health insurance. I was like, man, it's nice getting that $4,000, but you know, that TRICARE, you know, wife and kids are taken care of.
And that's just it, Sean, because listen, at the end of the day, you're making $4,000 a month, but in reality, you were making like $2,500 a month or $3,000 a month because you got to pay for that, right? You got to pay taxes on that. So, and that's just it. Like people, let's talk about this for a second. If you don't mind, I really want to talk about this for a second because I don't know where this crap came from. But it is, in fact, crap because there's people out there that do this whole gauge. Oh, if you're not making, you know, you got to be making 6 figures. You got to be making 6 figures.
Let me just
say this real quick. Okay. $10,000 a month to Joe is going to be completely different. Joe who lives in Tampa, Florida, as opposed to $10,000 a month to Joe, who lives in San Fernandino, some county in California. Okay.
Yep.
First of all, you don't know what life they're living. You don't know what the cost of living is like, what kind of taxes they 100%. Might be paying. If somebody's 100%. Sick in their family, that they're paying for medical expenses, right? So I don't know where the hell that $10,000 a month, that six-figure income per month, was the gauge of success. I say the hell with that. I want you to take that gauge. I want you to throw it out the window. If success for you looks like you are debt-free, looks like you are enjoying your life, looks like you have no problem feeding your family healthy, delicious foods, looks like you have no problem getting in physical activity, you're doing what you enjoy in life, and the amount of money that's coming in is helping you live that kind of a life, that's your success measurement.
Yep.
So please 100%. Do not let anybody else tell you that your gauge for success is a minimum amount of money. It's what it looks like for you in your life.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I've built six-figure businesses.
Yep.
You know, and so the measurement right now is that if you make over $400,000 a year, you are the top 1% rich in the United States, period.
Crazy, right? It's crazy.
$400,000 is the tipping point. Everybody makes about $100,000, $200,000, you know, when they want to talk about having a great, great job, you know, or as an entrepreneur or whatever. $100,000, $200,000, totally doable. You get into $400,000 and $500,000, you're making $500,000 a year. You are literally in the top 1% of all of the earners in America.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So $10,000 a month, just literally $10,000 a month is about $120K. You know, you minus taxes and everything else, you might be making $70K or $80K. Let's just say $70K or $80K.
Yep.
That's take home. If you are debt free, meaning you own your home, or maybe you're renting $1,000, $2,000. If you literally own your home, own your car, and your only bills are cell phone, shit, you don't even need DirecTV anymore. You've got Netflix. You know, you've got Amazon Fire TV.
Cell phone, internet, so, cable if you want it.
Water,
right?
Sewer,
trash. Groceries.
Water, sewer, trash.
Yep.
It's maybe $600 to $700 a month, just that. Maybe some insurance. Let's call it $1,000 a month. If you're debt-free, $1,000 a month. So for $12,000 a year, you are living off of $70,000 worth of income. And your only bills are $12,000. I don't know about you. I can't math very well. But that $50K plus is looking real damn sweet right now.
Yep.
So, that measurement is just absolutely ridiculous. And then I've met people that go, well, if you don't have a $1 million business, you're not an entrepreneur. You can kiss it right here, buddy, because I've built six-figure businesses. And I was totally happy and content. And I could afford anything I wanted to. And I didn't have to make $1 million a year. So
you know what's funny about that
too.
No. You're 100% right. And you know what's funny about that, Sean? And this is the people who think that, you know, that you compare yourself to other people and that somebody doesn't need you and that, you know, you're doing that thing, that imposter syndrome thing, right? So and you're gonna love this too, because you probably do the same thing. When I was in the Navy, I used to laugh and I used to say, you know, it takes a college degree to fly the helicopter, but it takes a high school diploma to fix it, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So as a consultant, right, I don't make $1 million a year right now. Right. I'm not there yet. And I'm okay. I'm totally okay with that, because I'm building a business. Sure. And you know what? I'm totally okay. What I do make is doing real well for me right now. Right. So, you know, 10,000 plus a month is pretty nice. Right. But I will tell you this, there are $1 million companies that come to me and say, hey, Trish, I could really use some help with doing better branding with live video.
Yep.
Right? So if they recognize me, and again, it's going to be somebody who relates to me. It might be a $1 million company that says, hey, you know what? We're veterans, or, you know, we like you because we love your energy when we see you doing live video or whatever. Right? They come to me and they go, okay, we get it. We have this brand, this model, and, you know, we're $1 million or $2 million company or whatever, $7 million company, but we want to do better. or we're getting ready to branch off. We want to build something else. We want to do this, or we want to do that. We want your help, right?
Yep.
They're going to come to me because I put myself out there, right? They're going to come to me because I didn't let some gauge somebody else's idea of what it looks like to be successful or what it looks like to be a true entrepreneur stop
right.
me from putting myself out there and giving people an opportunity to choose me and hire me. So
yep.
that's why I think that those gauges are just a bunch of bull crap. And I don't like that. I don't like it at all. Right. I say,
right.
do the damn thing. Like, just do it.
Yep. Oh no, 100%. And it's crazy. Cause I meet a lot of people that tell me these things need to happen. You need to be this, you need to be this. If, you know, no one, like everybody has their two cents, you know? And so the new company that I've launched is this clothing line, and a shirt that I'm going to come out with says that you gave away all your two cents and now you're broke.
So
it's like everybody's giving away their two cents on, well, it should be this way and it should be this way and it should be this way. And guess what? Now you're broke. Because you're paying attention to everybody else and what they're doing, and you have an opinion about everybody else and what they're doing, instead of focusing that energy into your own life and your own business and bettering yourself. So now that you've given away all your two cents, now you're broke. And that's a broke hobby. And I don't have time for broke hobbies because I'm not trying to live a broke life.
No, exactly. I mean, listen, as long as the actions that I'm taking today are helping me like maintain the momentum that I have and continuously grow. Even if I fail forward, failing forward for me, it's still success because I made a mistake. I'm learning from it and I'm going to continue to learn and grow. So as long as I maintain the momentum that I'm on, then I will continue to grow and I'm going to bring my train of people with me because I gave myself permission. I give myself permission to fail. It's okay to fail because that's how I learn. That's how I grow.
Right. You know, you have to celebrate failure. And people, they're like, wait, what? Like, I celebrate. I want to fail. I celebrate failure.
Yep.
You know, because that's how we grow. You know, I don't want to be the person that everything I touch turns to gold, because one time I'm not going to have everything turn to gold, and I'm going to get punched in the mouth by life and by entrepreneurship, and I want to be able to handle it. I want to fail just as many times as I succeed because I want to be growing through the process. I don't want to get to a point where I'm so comfortable that I'm like, oh, got this, and I'm so lackadaisical and so, you know, so not engaged. Right. So laid back that when something does happen, I'm ill prepared, you know? So
no,
that's 100%. Why I do.
So Sean, let me ask you a question. Have you ever double booked yourself on your calendar?
Oh God. Yeah. By accident. Yeah.
Everybody does this, right? Like everybody does it. Everybody.
It's so dumb. Because I'm in control of my calendar, too. I know when there's an appointment, you know, and then I didn't even look, and it says, this meeting conflicts with this thing. And I just put it in the calendar, blah, 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 or use an automatic calendar, and it goes in, right? And it doesn't register what you did in your regular calendar, or you use two different calendars. Like, yeah, it's bad.
So talking about failing forward, so – I did this like one too many times, like seriously, like, and it wasn't like a thing where it's like, so I was using one software to book all of my stuff. And I switched over to another one because I found another one that could allow me to put coupon codes in there. And I could use them when I do like speaking engagements and go, hey, if you want to book a call with me, because I met you here, it could take 50% off or whatever, like all sorts of different things. So I'm switching over. And what would happen is, you know, I'd book a podcast episode with somebody and I'd be like, okay, let's say it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. Then it would be like, you know, Thursday at 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be on this person's podcast. Their podcast goes 30 to 45 minutes. So I'd give myself about a 15-minute cushion and go, okay, cool. I could do this. I could do this. And then I can hop onto this other person's Facebook live show and, you know, and do the thing. But let's face it, Sean. Trish Lito likes to talk, right? So giving myself 30 to 45 minutes to be on somebody's podcast is not enough time. 15 minute buffer is nowhere near enough time. So then, I definitely disappointed, you know, one or two people by doing that. So now I'm like, okay, if I'm going to be on the podcast, I'd be like, you know what? Literally the rest of that afternoon, for I need like a 2 hour bracket. Like I don't want to disappoint anybody going forward. And that's how I learned how to do that, because it happens. And the more I get out there, the more podcasts I'm on, the more people want to have me on their podcast. So I'm on podcasts probably 4 or 5 times a week. Like, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying, like, that's a fact, right? So that's a lot. It is awesome. Like, that's a look I'm going for sure.
My
but
goal
it's like,
is 60
it's a lot of
a
work.
Year. 60 shows a year is my goal.
Yeah.
Because I was doing, I mean, really 50. Like, really, my goal is 50, but I say it's 60 because I've learned that when I set high expectations, I may or may not hit them. So let's say you want to make a $1 million business. Just say you're going to make a $10 million business, and you'll probably hit the million, because a lot of times we either don't go to that goal, or we just stop short, or it just, or maybe we, you know, crush it. So, you know, last year I was like 50 podcasts. That's where I want to go. And I'm doing like 59 or 60. And so I was like, oh, well, since I got to 60, then that should be my goal every year. You know what I mean? So I might hit 50. Right now I'm at 16. I've done 16 podcasts so far, which is 4 podcasts a month. And I still already have 4 or 5 podcasts already booked. Like, I'm going to be on podcasts here in the next coming weeks. So I've learned that if you do about 4 a month, that'll get you to about 50. Because like 48, you know what I mean? Whatever. But if you do about, let's say if you did, even if you did 5, you do 5 a month, you know, and they get you to, you know, to get you to 50. So just, you know, there's different ways to do it, but, you know, it's all about strategy. And most people that I talk to, they don't have a strategy. Like, well, I want to do it, and I know how, and I'm like, you need to be like, I need this many this month. I need to schedule this many. Like, that's what I do with my speaking. I email or apply to speak twice a day. And then if you bring in the math, that's 2 a day times 5 days, Monday through Friday is 10 events a week, or people that I've emailed, 10 a week times 4 weeks is 40 times 12 months, 12 times 40, 480 events. So I've emailed or applied to speak 480 times a year. Do I do 2 a day? I really try. I'm right around 2 a day. I might hit, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 in 1 week because I was speaking somewhere and didn't get a chance to do it, you know, but on average, I send out about 400 emails or apply 400 times a year to speak. So, you know, it's just, what are your numbers? You got to know your numbers.
Yeah, no, and that's you're absolutely right. You do have to know your numbers. I love that because when I first started doing this whole thing, I kind of made it like a commitment to my husband. I said, listen, you know, if I'm going to quit my 9-to-5, I need to make, you know, double or triple what my 9-to-5 monthly income was, right? Because like, we got to pay taxes on that. I got to do this. I got to do this.
Yeah.
I got to make sure that I'm, you know, taking care of my business expenses, whatever. And, so I kind of did that whole thing. Like, my business coach is like, okay, well, you got to reverse engineer that. You know, what's that going to look like for you? If you're going to do that, how many speaking gigs do you have to have per month? Right. And God bless you. You're helping me with that. Like, huge shout out to you for big
trying
for that. Oh my God. Like, no, and it's going well, but I live in Tampa, Florida. Right. So, of those speaking gigs that I get, I need to make sure a lot of them are local because I got 2 little kids and I can't be flying around all over the place. Like, I just can't, right? Kids really, you know, I'm the mommy and my kids are in school. So, you know, so, okay, speaking gigs here, but then also, you know, I also need to be making sure that I'm creating my own events, right? That I'm hosting the event and I'm bringing people into those events and I'm teaching them and I'm presenting and I'm speaking and I'm hosting workshops. I'm on podcasts. Are the podcasts income producing? Meaning, am I providing enough value to people that they understand why 5-Minute Lives can help them with their business? And am I providing them a link where they can go be a part of my email list or book a call with me?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Am I creating courses and info products? Am I offering people an opportunity to work for me at a lower level and a higher level? Am I booking private clients? So these are all these little things. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing these things and I'm doing them on a regular basis. I'm making sure that every day I wake up Monday through Friday and I have my business hours, 10:30 to 4:30, right? Saturdays and Sundays, yep. 100% for the family. So
yep.
Numbers.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. 100%. 100%. And you just need to figure out, you know, like you said, like your numbers and figure out the strategies to move forward. So let's talk about that as we wind down the show. Talk about the 5-minute lives, where you came up with it and why they should press live with purpose.
So super long story short, in 2016, when Facebook Live first came out and everybody started seeing that little live button show up on their Facebook feed on their phone, I was one of the first people because I was like, oh, can everybody go live? Because people were going live on Periscope. Like, that's kind of where I had started at.
Yep.
Periscope and YouTube, right? YouTube Live and Periscope.
Some people
talked about some cat too, like their meerkat or something. I never did that. But
no.
Periscope I did and YouTube I did. And then Facebook opened up live video, okay? So I started doing it, and the reason why I started doing live video is because I had my worst month ever in an MLM business, and I had a hard breakdown because of it, and
yep.
it caused me to get onto YouTube and start following people who I recognize as, like, you know, these people are multimillionaires because they have these businesses that they grew on social media. Grant Cardone, Gary Vee. Lewis
yep.
Howes, Amy Porterfield, Russell Brunson. And I'm going, who are these people and how can I learn from them? Started watching their webinars, got overwhelmed because this is 3 years ago, right? Like, it's gotten even worse now, but I got super overwhelmed because I put myself in learning mode and I wasn't taking action on any
yep.
of the information. I was just learning.
100%.
Right? So then I was in Facebook groups with people who were implementing what I was also learning from these high level people. They were implementing it. They're like, oh, I read Crush It, now I'm doing this thing. Oh, I read .com Secrets, I'm doing this thing. I read the 10X Rule, I'm doing this thing. And I'm like, ooh, you're doing the thing niche specific that I've been watching all these people on webinars with. I'd like to learn from you. So I was reaching out to them and I was like, hey, let me bring you on a Facebook Live. How about I interview you? And you could tell me. And so what happened, Sean, was I was learning from people who were doing what I was learning, but they were taking action and they were doing it niche specific. Sometimes they were doing it with Facebook groups. Sometimes they were doing it on Instagram. They were doing the things, real estate, mortgage, whatever. So I was reaching out to them and it turned into a show, a Facebook Live show called The Expert Connection with Trish Lito. So I was connecting experts with my audience. And I had one of my mentors, I was like, You're a journalist. Like, you're a journalist now. So then I started doing business shout outs. I started doing Facebook Lives and I was doing business shout outs. But the unfortunate part, Sean, is I wasn't doing anything with real structure and a call to action necessarily.
Right.
But I started seeing other people doing the same thing. They're live for a half an hour, 45 minutes, sometimes live for an hour. And they're Facebook Live and they're talking. They weren't really building a business with it. They weren't doing anything
right.
with it. So
right.
I noticed myself doing it and I noticed other people doing it. And I was like, all right, I needed to find my own lane because my lane wasn't building funnels. My lane was not running Facebook ads for businesses. I was doing that, but I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I was like, no. I'm a leader. I am a leader by nature. You know this about me. I'm a leader and I'm a teacher. I love
yep.
to teach. Right. So I was like, okay, I'm going to come up with something a little bit kind of innovating here. I go and I grab my post-it notepad and I go, how can we make it so that these live videos are broken down into small chunks of information, but just enough so that if I did it over and over again, people would know me, they'd like me, they'd trust me, and they'd want to work with me. And that's essentially what happened. I sat down and I wrote down, okay, I could break it down into 5 minutes. I could break it down. And so I did. I literally wrote it down on a sticky net, on a sticky note, like literally wrote it down on a sticky note. And then I started implementing it. I had a free group at the time and I started going into my free group and going, hey guys, I'm going to teach you how to do stories in Instagram. Hey, today I'm going to teach you how to add hashtags on Instagram. Hey, today I'm going to teach you how you can, you know, how you can set up a scheduled Facebook Live on your business page, or I'm going to teach you this, or I'm going to teach you this, or I'm going to teach you that. Here's, I'm going to teach you Google Drive. And before I knew it, people were like, holy geez, Trish Leach's doing live videos for just 5 minutes. She's teaching a thing and she's doing a call to action. This is amazing. I want to try it too. And Sean, it just took off. It took off. So I turned it into a blueprint. I started building my list with it and I started teaching people with it. And then in February of last year, this was actually before I had actually launched the blueprint, but I got asked to be a speaker at an event for a guy here locally in Tampa, Steve Hopper. And he's like, hey, I want you to come speak at my event. I'm teaching Facebook. I'm teaching live video or video marketing, a video marketing seminar. And I want you to come out. I want you to be my Facebook Live expert. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Nobody had ever asked me to be a speaker before. Right. But it happened because of the lives that I was doing, my Facebook Lives. I was motivating. I was inspiring. I was teaching. So I did that.
Yep.
Then I got asked to be expert speaker after 5 Minute Lives kind of launched, expert speaker at the Military Influencer Conference in October of 2018. Then November, the very next month, I was asked to speak at the Milwaukee Mastermind up in Milwaukee. And that's when I met my business coach. And he goes, you need to trademark 5 Minute Lives. And that needs to be your signature speech from now on. That's what you do. It's not how to monetize live video content. Your whole business is 5 Minute Lives. And I kind of laughed at him when he said that. But I was like, you know what? He's like, and I'm going to teach you how to turn it into a system. So I hired him on the spot that day. Okay. That was Chad Thibodeau. I hired him. And then in December, I trademarked 5 Minute Lives. I had people hiring me left and right. I paid off over $15,000 in debt that I had. And in January, or actually at the end of December, VaynerMedia asked me to be a speaker at Agent 2021 with Gary V.
That is insane. That's amazing.
I had a heart attack. I'm not even joking you. I thought I was being punked. I literally thought that they were joking. I thought it was like somebody like playing a prank on me.
Especially if they reached out to you, you're like, oh my gosh, like, wait, wait.
Yeah. So I had a girl that was helping me get speaking gigs. I'd hired her and she sent me a message the afternoon before. She sent me a message and she goes, hey, just so you know, I submitted you for this. I hope you're okay with it. I opened up the link and I'm like, holy geez, this is freaking VaynerMedia. And she's like, yeah, I know. Yeah. Are you okay with that? I'm like, yeah. And like 2 minutes later, we had an email from Kim Garcia, who's the SVP of VaynerMedia and the Vayner Experience. Yeah. And I was on a phone call with them the next day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And not even 10 minutes into the call, she's like, okay, we'd like to invite you to be a speaker on our mortgage panel. And
oh,
I was shaking. Yeah. I was crying. I was like, this is amazing. Right. So then, so then that was January 17th. I did that. And then the second week of February, I gave my 2 week notice to my job.
Hell yeah.
So 5 Minute Lives is absolutely a thing. I launched the 5 Minute Live Academy where I'm teaching entrepreneurs how to increase revenue. I'm teaching content location and creation and turning that into 5 minute chunks of information for audiences to consume your content, know, like, and trust you, and leverage that brand credibility and authority so that you are the go-to expert in your industry.
I love how that sounds.
I've had a little help with that.
I love how that sounds.
Yeah. I've had a little help with that.
Yeah.
Because I really want to make sure that I'm clear.
But everybody gets it. You know, when you tell them that, they're like, oh, all right. Very cool. So with that, here's what I want to do, because we got about 5 minutes left. Here's what I want to do. I want to give a shameless plug. Plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do. Shameless plug moment. Go.
So if you are a business, whether you are service-based business, product-based business, you're a brick and mortar. If you're scrolling through Facebook every day and you see how many people are using live video to market themselves, I want you to take a moment. I want you to take a step back and I want you to think for just a second. If I did live video and I did it in small chunks, 5 minutes a day for free, could that possibly be something that could help me increase revenue with my business? And if your answer to that question is yes, then I want you to go to my website, churchlito.com, and I want you to book a call with me. If that's all you do is book a call, then that's what I want you to do, okay? Then, shameless plug, I've got the 5-Minute Lives Academy. That's a full academy. I want you to graduate. That is a 30-day money-back guarantee. If within 30 days, I show you how to create content that matters to your audience and press live for 5 minutes a day for 30 solid days and you make zero money, I will give you your money back, okay? That's also available on my website, all right? Now, if you are somebody who says, hey, Trish, I'd like to do affiliate marketing. Well, you're in luck because I'm literally about to create an affiliate link for my academy where you can not only get into the academy, start making money, but you can get money when you refer other people to join it as well. So that's pretty much it. And a huge shout out to Sean Douglas. That's the guy that you all need to be reaching out to. If you want to get more paid speaking gigs and learn how to speak, go to his website and buy his ebook for the love of God. There it is. There's my shameless plug.
It. And if you are listening and you know someone who needs a social media speaker to talk about using live video, then you need to hire Trish Lito to come to your event because she is the absolute fire on stage.
I mean, I really am. I absolutely am. Shameless plug. I love to teach. I just really, truly love it. It's something that I'm extremely passionate about. And I love to do it in person more than anything else. I love to teach live on live video. But if I can get in front of a group of people, I will light a fire inside of you. 100%. It's what I love to do.
Love it. I love it. Trish, you are an absolute rock star. I love having a conversation with you. And I love what you're doing. You jumped when most people are afraid. You jumped. You built your parachute on the way down. And now you're soaring. And I love that you've taken that live button and used it and come up with a system and a process in a way that is changing people's businesses. So kudos to you.
Well, thank you, sir. I mean, listen, I've definitely had some pretty impressive and awesome people to support me and encourage me along the way. And if I didn't have the social media community and the network that I had, I don't know that I would be as successful as I am. And you are definitely on the top of the list of the network of people that I have. So I thank you very much for helping me, supporting me, and encouraging me along this journey. And I hope that I can do the same for you.
It was absolutely my pleasure. And those that are listening, okay, if you don't know who Trish Lito is, you are way behind the power curve because in 2 years, Trish Lito is going to be synonymous with the big people who are running the show on social media. Trish Lito will be running.
I couldn't agree more.
I'm just saying, in 2 years, I'm telling you, in 2 years, Trish Lito is going to be synonymous with the Grant Cardones and the Tony Robbins and the Gary V's and the Lewis Howes and John Lee Dumas and like all those people who like is a household name in their industry. Trish Lito is creating her own category, dominating that category, and is leaving no excuses behind. All right. That's it for the show today. If anything resonated with you, please connect with Trish Lito at trishlito.com. I ask that you subscribe to Live Transformation Radio wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, specifically on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, the Google Play Music app, Overcast, CastBox, Spotify. Everywhere is where Live Transformation Radio lives. And with that, as I close, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.